Hello and welcome to Gaming News Weekly. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Matt.
Well, we're back again. Matt once again seeing me in 4K. Brilliant. Which
Brilliant.
is good for him. How you been, Matt? How you been?
I can't complain. It's been a fun week of playing games though, because I played a few new games that are out of the brand new games that are out, some demos, and then you've played some brand new system, a brand new game.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. Friend of the show, Mark, let us have a go on his Steam VR setup to play Half-Life Alyx. But more on that in a second. Guys, let us know what you've been thinking of these shorter shows. Hopefully today's going to be another one of those short shows. Mostly because there hasn't been an awful lot going on in the world, Matt, but we've certainly been playing enough games that we can talk about it. Of course, we've got trivia, and it's your turn to be quiz. And can I say, we're on for a good one this week. Anyway, let's talk about what we've been playing. And Matt, I know you've got some terrible games that you want to talk about first.
You're really gonna toss me up like that.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us what you've been playing?
Right. Well, I'm gonna throw one in there that I didn't put in the show notes because it's a little bit shorter episode when it comes to news. I did get into the Halo Infinite multiplayer flight. And I wasn't able to play against other people, unfortunately, but I was able to play against the infamous Halo Infinite bots. And man, are they hilarious, but they're good. You can adjust their difficulties and they can be as hard as you want to as easy as you want. And they pull off some smart, sometimes disrespectful moves against you. But overall, the Halo Infinite game seems to be, at least multiplayer wise, seems to be lining up exactly with what I want. From the movement to the gunplay, I think and I hope so far 343 has hit the nice line between familiar and new. I think it's a perfect balance so far of Halo 3 and Halo Reach and Halo 5. I think it's so far a perfect marriage of both of them. Movement wise, they're still sprinting, but that was a huge dilemma back on Halo 4. But they've made it so sprinting is only slightly faster than the actual movement speed. It's more for being able to slide. It kind of has that apex movement a little bit, but not too much. It has a grappling hook. I haven't played a lot to get into it, but I played enough to get me excited about it. And I think everyone should be looking forward to it, especially since the multiplayer is going to be free and it's going to be cross-platform between Xbox One, the new Xboxes, and PC. Move on to another little game I played was Battlefield 2042, the beta. I was able to get into it a little early because the Game Pass Ultimate, but as well as the time of this recording, it's out for the public for an open beta. And I can only comment on the, well, is it current gen or the old gen now? The Xbox One X, the old gen, the Xbox Ones, where it is only 64 players, 32 versus 32. Because the PC and the new PS5, Xbox Series X are now 128 players, 64 versus 64. But regardless, I don't know how they did it, but the game looks absolutely beautiful and it still runs in 60 frames per second. I went on YouTube and I looked at, the differences between PS4, PS4 Pro, and PS5. And of course, while there's resolution differences, and the PS5 obviously has more detail in the maps, and the PS5 is a bigger map with more players, it's still amazing what they were able to shove into Battlefield 2042 in just this one map in this one game mode. The gameplay feels great. It's harkening back to Battlefield 4. I love the specialist system, which kind of reminds me of Rainbow Six Siege, where the gunplay and the guns all feel great to play, but it's really the specialists. They each have a different ability, like a grappling hook, a sentry turret, a recon drone. It's a really good mixture, and I think it's setting up Prime for a live service. I know that's kind of a bad word to say in the gaming industry, but I think it's going to do well within Battlefield, with the portal, the hazard zone, and now this main game mode. Overall, it looks great. It feels great to play. Of course, there's still bugs, but it is a beta. They did delay it for an extra month, so hopefully everything gets ironed out that way. But it looks like to be a great package, all with crossplay, only for Xbox One, PS4, then the next Series X and PS5 can crossplay with PC. But it looks like to be a great package. My next game I want to talk about is Insurgency Sandstorm. Apparently this game has been out on PC for a minute, but it has finally made its way to console. It's been in development for console for a while, and it finally made its debut on console. And I think I really love it, but also hate it at the same time. It is a hardcore first-person shooter. And when I mean multiplayer first-person shooter, what I mean by that is that you die in one or two bullets. Maybe three if you are far enough distance away, you have heavy body armor, and only three bullets then. But the guns have realistic recoil, so you can't full auto and control the recoil real well. A lot of times you have to do single fire. If you quick reload, you lose that magazine. You don't know the exact amount of ammo that you have. There's no heads-up display. You don't get a kill marker. You just see people just limply die on the road if you shoot them. It's exciting. It's a breath of fresh air because consoles don't really have that hardcore shooting genre like the PC market does. And I think it's a nice balance between accessibility and hardcoreness, that the controls aren't overly complicated. It plays almost like Call of Duty controller-wise, but the gameplay is very hardcore. And it's something that I think, Gareth, you would absolutely love, but also hate at the same time, just like I do. Is you feel good when you kill a few people out in the road, when you're able to shoot them down range. It's only one or two bullets to take them out. You see their bodies fall limply. It's intense when you go from building to building, from room to room. Close quarter combat is intense. But then there's sometimes you can just get mad at the game because you die in one or two bullets, and it's just infuriating sometimes, but it is so good. I think consoles could use more of these type of games. I am going to continue to play it, and hopefully it's going to make the game of the week in the future, just because of how excited I am, just because of the breath of fresh air this is. So I'm looking forward to getting more time into it, leveling up, see what other classes, because there's different classes to it. And no gameplay features are locked behind any paywall. It's only cosmetics only, and you get plenty of stuff to customize your guys any ways that you want. It's exciting, and I'm going to continue to play it. So, but I'm done rambling. Gareth, what have you been playing besides Alex?
So, first of all, if everybody heard the shout-out to our feline listeners there, you might have heard Matt's cat. Anyway, right, so gather around. Firstly, I have been playing Apex Legends. Very similar to Alex, except nothing alike. They just start with the letter A. Apex Legends. So I was brought into this. Kicking and screaming, initially, I will admit, kicking and screaming, and played a few rounds, and bared with it, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what it is, can't put my finger on it, it's got its claws in me. It's got its claws in me, to stick with the feline theme. Now, it could be the first victory I got. Because, boy, oh boy, there's a buzz. There is a buzz to it. You know, they're not... It's slightly unfair to put them in the same category as Warzone. Now, bear with me as I say that. Warzone has a lot more people. Particularly, so I only ever really solo-queued Warzone. And a lot of that was because the toxicity. I'm not the best video gamer in the world. Apex Legends, it's either duos or trios. There's been a few people. There's been a few people who, you know, leave as soon as they get shot or whatever. But overall, they've been pretty good. I've talked to people on game chat, which is something that I haven't done since the 360 era, back when that was cool. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I liked the gameplay loop. I do wish that when you did come out of a game, there was a button to immediately take you to another game. But other than that, I think it wants to tell you've got another Apex pack. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think that's what it's for. Yeah, I just really like it. I like the movement, I like the gunplay. When I hit somebody, it feels, most of the time, I'll say, feels rewarding. Sometimes you think you are hitting a sponge, and it sucks. But loving it, enjoying it, and I think that's going to become a very regular game for me. Yeah, it's so rewarding when it comes up with the champions banner at the bottom. Yeah, love it, love it. So I'll be playing that game for a lot longer. Another game that I played last Sunday, friend of the show, Mark, as I said, invited me over to play Half-Life Alyx in VR. Now, I just want to say something first and foremost. I don't know if this is just memory. Graphics, not entirely sure. But I did not realize Half-Life was a horror game. Because let me tell you this, Half-Life Alyx in VR, it's horror. It's horror to a whole new level. So, I don't know if you remember this, Matt. I don't know how much you played of this, but in Half-Life, the people that had the head crabs on them, the zombies, if you will, they used to wail and moan and like, now that never really hit me, I don't think. But oh boy, when we played Half-Life Alyx, oh my goodness, it was terrifying. Now, I'm going to talk about this game an awful lot more towards the end of the show. So you probably already know where I'm going to go with it. But let me tell you this, it was beautiful. The game is beautiful. I can't. The sticky, gooey hideousness of the sort of subway sections and the tunnels. Icky, if that's even a word, but beautiful. The city, beautiful. I can't tell you. I just can't tell you. Those of you in the Discord server, you will have seen the video of me amazed by a bush. Spinning a kid's toy on a playground thing. I can't even remember what the name of the thing's called, but going onto a slide, unbelievable. It's made me want a VR headset more than anything. It really has. Unbelievable. I love it. Thanks to Mark for letting us play with it, and I'm sure I'll play it again. But maybe when we're not in the dark tunnels where you need a flashlight. So, I've played out Apex Legends and Half-Life Alyx. Matt, you've played some games. Oddly, for some reason, he's not even on the episode, but we're checking in with our main man, Davila, to find out what he's been playing. We went to his TikTok. We saw what he was up to. We watched the video back several times. Matt, hook us up. What's Davila been playing? What's his opinion on it?
So, like we stated in the last episode, with the new world coming out and it's blowing records out, just with the over the half a million players within the short time frame, Davila is one of our, I would say, our special guests that report on the newest games because Gareth and I don't. Davila is our exclusive reporter on this. So I've been watching Davila stream. If you haven't followed Joe streaming on Twitch, you need to. And we'll link his Twitch into the description for the episode because he is one of the only streamers that I watch besides Gareth sometimes. And
Ouch.
he's only been streaming new. Well, I'm a little upset that it took you so long to play Apex Legends. And just for all the listeners, he didn't play Apex Legends because of me. Through all this time that I played Apex Legends, he only decides to play it now because of some other friend. Whatever. I digress. Joe, as we play New World, I've asked him for his opinion on it, and he does plan on giving us a fuller review, more of his thoughts on it later, as well as he's going to ask other content creators of what their thoughts on it, and if it has any lasting power within the MMORPG world. But this is going to be a follow-up. So this is a updated review in progress from Davila. The game, simplified, is a mixture of the best elements of old-school RuneScape and classic World of Warcraft. It's solid, but it's a grind MMORPG. Obviously, MMORPGs are grindy by default, but we're talking, again, RuneScape levels of grind. If that's not your thing, then I suggest looking elsewhere. That said, graphics are absolutely stunning. Character customization is a little disappointing, but considering it's just launched and they have plenty of time to put more customization options later down the line, I'm not concerned at all of it. Haven't really encountered any game-breaking bugs yet, and this is from someone who's got over 50 hours already invested into the game. Combat system is fair. Every weapon has a purpose. Every weapon can be utilized and customized with two different skill trees so that the combinations are quite endless. I've been using mainly the Warhammer and Great Axe. The PvP in the game is, in my opinion, done really well. You're able to flag your PvP status on and off, only in a settlement, and get an XP boost while flagged. Also, one of the main objectives in the game is to be the controlling faction of the settlements. As the acting governor of that town, you're able to set taxes on things like your crafting stations, houses, and even the player-based market. So yes, I'd recommend giving New World a shot. Get it on Steam. It's only $40. If you don't like it within the 2 hours, which if you play seriously, you can easily hit like level 12 and get a sense of what's to come, then just refund it. I'm excited to see where New World goes from here. So one of the things, this is the first time I've read all the way through it. I skimmed it, but the acting governor of the town, you're able to set taxes on things like your crafting stations. That sounds extremely interesting, but that is the review in progress. That is what Davila Joe is actively thinking of the game. We are going to check in later with him to see if his thoughts have changed, if he has a more full review in progress. He is going to check with other content creators. But if anyone else out there has played New World, give us an email, give us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or anything like that. And let us know if your thoughts line up with Joe's, if they differ in any way, sort. Let us know what you think of the game, as this game seems to be creeping up in the popularity of the MMORPG world, which I would argue was slowly dying off before New World. World of Warcraft was the last huge MMORPG, and I can't really remember anything else making this big of a splash. So if you're out there, you've played it, comment, message us, let us know what you think, and we'll put you in the next episode.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It, pull me crazy. But about 3-4 months ago, maybe a bit longer, Valheim was supposed to be the game that was going to take over the world. And it did. For 20 minutes, it was the biggest game on Twitch, on Steam, blew everything away. Is New World just going to disappear into the background as it gets replaced with the Call of Duties, the other big AAA games? And I know that Amazon have said it's a AAA studio that they've produced, that have produced this game. But I don't know. Is this going to be, honestly, a World of Warcraft killer? I don't know. I doubt it, personally. But I'm really glad to hear that people are enjoying it. They're enjoying the grind, of which apparently the grind is hard. It's, yeah, a big grind. But, that's why people play those games. I got into Lord of the Rings Online for a hot minute. And the grind was, that's why I played it, I'd go and I'd do the same thing and then I'd go back and go do the same thing again and then, rinse and repeat. And that's kind of the idea of that game or those types of games. So it's going to be interesting to see how long this game sticks around, see if these incredible numbers, like you say, stick around. sort of a month, 2 months down the line. But thanks to Davila for doing that. We really do appreciate him. He knows we've got a lot of time for him. Yeah, as Matt says, his link will be in the description. It's also in the Discord channel on the content sharing page. And by all means, if you've got something you want to share, drop it in that page. Yeah, absolutely. We want to see it. Me and Matt will watch it. We'll listen to it. We'll read it, whatever it is. Drop it in there. If we like it, we'll give it a mention on the show. Right, great. Thanks for that. So let's move on to the news. I like saying that with a little bit of an change of tone. Hasn't been a lot going on. Hasn't been a lot going on, Matt. But fortunately, we've avoided a data breach that has not revealed how many millions we've earned over the last 2 years.
Darn.
Thanks to our non-disclosure agreement with Xbox Game Pass, Twitch has had a huge crisis happen. Now we're going to talk about this briefly. You know, it's gaming, but a side of gaming. It's not gaming in total, but no doubt you guys will have heard about this. So Twitch recently had a data breach, a leak, a huge leak. One of the biggest things being a leak of how much some of their streamers have been paid. Now, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Some of their streamers have been paid very, very handsomely. One of which, I think, $8.2 million over 2 years. I mean, that's more than probably some NFL players are paid. Now, bear in mind, they bring in an audience probably as big as NFL players. Do they deserve it? Don't know. People donate to it, so they clearly, somebody thinks they do. Anyway, we're not going to get into that on how much they earn or as such, unless we are, Matt. I don't know. I'm going to throw it to you in a second. They've said that listeners, if you've donated and such, apparently your details are safe. They don't believe there's been a leak of payment details. They're putting it down to a server error. I don't know. Are they just covering their tracks? In a week where Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram collapsed to nothing, what can we believe at the moment? But I don't know, Matt. I mean, what blows you away with this? The amount of money these streamers have earned, or that Twitch can have this happen? People are apparently running away from Twitch. YouTube Gaming has started firing out letters to say, they'll pay you that, we'll pay you this. What are your thoughts on it?
My initial thought is that no tech company is able to avoid this by all means. Every tech company is susceptible to this, and Twitch is not an exception to this. Just because of the large fan base doesn't mean that they are invulnerable from this. What hits me the most is that Twitch is easily the highest and most rated streaming service. We covered this back when Mixer, the Microsoft failed streaming service, went out of business. It tried to go up against Twitch. It tried to go up against Facebook Gaming and YouTube, and it just failed. And Twitch always came out on top. Twitch is the leading streaming service. So for it to get hacked, it affected millions of people. So like you said, it didn't affect any payment options, supposedly is what they said, which is a great thing. They sent out new stream keys. They are asking people to change their passwords. I think the one horrifying thing is, according to this this article, they are unsure of how this happened. And that is the most worrying thing, is that they don't know how this happened, so they can't prevent it in the future. Of course, they're investigating it. If it's found, I'm sure they will develop their safeguards against it in the future, and as well as other businesses. But that's the one worrying thing, is that they still have not figured out what went wrong. People getting paid the millions of dollars that they do, I'm not surprised by that. It doesn't affect me. I kind of expected it. Big streamers like Ninja and stuff like that, they pull in large crowds. Like you said, whether you agree or disagree that they should be getting paid that much money, they bring in large crowds. That's between them and their sponsorships or whatever. So this is just, it's a huge deal. It's still ongoing. I do feel like this is important to touch on because, like you said, even though it's not gaming directly, it is one of the lead streaming services for gaming. But I do feel for anyone's information getting leaked out there, that's never a good situation to get into. So our heart goes out for you.
Yeah, I think a little bit of healthy competition. You know, it'll be good to see other systems, YouTube gaming, Facebook gaming, all those sorts of things. It'd be good to see them develop a little bit more. And if they use this as an advantage to get some skilled people over, then good for them, I guess. But next, could it be the biggest flop ever? Who knows? We don't know. I've not got one. Matt hasn't got one. But the Switch OLED edition has been released. Now, I've seen some hands-on stuff of this. Not physically in real life. Oh boy, this does look quite smart. I must admit, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking that is a very smart piece of kit. I don't know if it's the white Joy-Cons. The screen is genuinely quite an attractive screen. The display, it looks better. Even on the home screen itself just looks better. Before we go into this any deeper, if you have a Switch OLED version, can you please get in touch with us? We would either love you to do a little bit of a written review, like Davila's done for us, or if you want to, we'll get you on the show. If Matt will stop telling you about the 9-3 games he's played, we will fit you a section in to talk about the OLED. Now, I mean, it's been fairly positively reviewed. So in the UK, which used to be part of Europe, the Switch, about a month ago, 2 months ago, the normal edition was reduced to £269.99. Which to Americans is a lot of money. And the price of the OLED edition is coming at £310. Now, that roughly being £40 or so, I've got to be honest, that's tempting. That's tempting if everything's as good as it is. I mean, what's your thoughts on it, Matt? We were disappointed by this, weren't we? We wanted a Pro, we wanted 4K, we wanted everything that we potentially are going to get from the Steam Deck. But what's your thoughts on it?
So, like you said, we did want a Pro version. We wanted a Xbox One X version. It is an upgrade. I'm not going to sit here and tell people not to get it. If you don't, I think the line is, if you don't own a Switch already, this is a clear choice. This is the one to get. If you don't own a Switch already, or if you have the mobile Switch, the one that you can't take the Joy-Cons off, if you want one to dock.
Switch Lite, yeah.
Switch Lite, this is the one to get. But if you have the base version, I don't see a real reason to upgrade. Like you said, the OLED screen looks awesome. There is obviously quality of life upgrades with the audio, the more space, the digital space and all that. But people are really looking for an actual true upgrade. And I think I even said on the episode when this was rumored with the 720p screen, I wasn't looking for a 4K screen. If they would have upgraded to a 1080, I think that probably would have sufficed people as well. I'm not going to bag on it. It's not a bad upgrade. It obviously has great quality of life stuff added to it. But it's something that if you already own a Switch, it's not going to be something that you're going to go out and clamor for. Good on Nintendo for doing this slight upgrade, but bad on them for not making a true upgrade. It's interesting. If you don't own one, probably get this one. But if you already own one, my suggestion is just to hold out.
I think what worries me a lot, is This is not beneath Nintendo. Now, the rumors are developers have hands-on actual Switch Pros. Now, huge, huge grain of salt, humongous grain of salt. Think of a silo full of salt. That's how much salt you should take this with. But there are people saying on numerous sites, on numerous YouTube channels, that developers have access to an actual Switch Pro. Now, I would have said before, particularly before the N64 online thing came out last week, Nintendo definitely are a kind of company that would release an OLED edition, and then maybe mid next year we'll get a Switch Pro. And it might only be, 15, 20, £30 dollars more. Get it to the 350 mark because it's 4K or whatever. I don't put that past them because they know we'll buy it. We'll buy it. We always do. We all say, why have they done that? Why have they released Super Mario 64 and not changed the camera and not done any rework to it? But here's $50, pounds. That's what concerns me. So please, if you want one of these, buy it. I'm not saying don't buy it. I'm not saying don't do that. But please be aware that I am nervous. I am nervous that you may think you're buying the best Switch that will be. You might not be. And equally, I think Nintendo are going to need to take that seriously because if the Steam Deck is as good as it supposedly is and the early hands-on is, that's a Switch killer. It just is.
Or
It's a Switch killer.
at least a competitor, which, like you said in the last one, competition is good. Nintendo, for the most part, has reigned supreme on this mobile kind of market. And Switch, I have nothing against Nintendo. Switch was is a brilliant, smart, financially successful console. It fills both spaces of console gaming and mobile gaming. But like you said, this competition of the Steam Deck, if it is as good as people are saying it is, it might be the healthy competition that pushes Nintendo to not only, I mean, it's innovating, but continue to, like you said, the console that's going to win is going to be the most consumer friendly. And that competition might push Nintendo to be more consumer friendly with the not only producing maybe a new Switch, the Switch 2 or whatever their next console is going to be sooner and make it bigger and better, or just being more consumer friendly. The competition's good, and like you said, they need to maybe start worrying.
And I just to finish off on this, because you've got me up onto my hill. I'm on here now, so listeners, if you're used to hearing this, skip ahead 15 seconds. If it was up to me, and this is me being very, very open and honest about it, if the choice was this Switch OLED edition or their engineers, their designers spent a bit more time, I don't know, working on a better internet system, working on a better online system. I've got to be honest, if they turned around and put £20, I don't know, even maybe even a month on a Nintendo Game Pass, and I'm not kidding, £20 a month, people would pay it 100%. Put all your N64 stuff in there. Put all your NES stuff in there. Put your SNES stuff in there. Put Switch games. Rotate them. Put Mario Odyssey in there occasionally. Keep Mario Kart in there. You keep Mario Kart in there, you'll sell it month after month after month. Now, this is a £300 million idea for you, Nintendo. But I'll be honest, that's what I want. And you are right. Yes, we've said it before. The consumer-friendly business is going to win this generation. I think if anybody was going to be able to pull it off, because I think it's doable, it's going to be PlayStation and Xbox that pull off this handheld 4K monster. Because I mean, have you seen the size of an Xbox Series S? tiny. The box is tiny. So if they've got it to that size, who's to say they can't chuck it into a handheld? I don't know. I mean, the Steam Deck looks unreal. And that's, yeah, it looks pretty big, but it looks about as big as some of the custom grips that you get for a Switch anyway. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to come down from my hill. Let us know what you think. Please, please let us know what you think in the Facebook, in the Discord. We want to talk to you about this one because we think it's a hot topic. Let us know if you bought one. We will get you on the show if you're comfortable with that. If not, we'll get a written review from you or maybe an audio clip. We can sort that out with you. So that's the Switch OLED. Now, some of our listeners may remember once upon a time, we did a segment on the show about video game movies. It was fairly contentious. We got there in the end, but in an age where Sonic has had a relatively good movie release, Mortal Kombat had a relatively good movie release, that Mario thing got announced, which we touched on very briefly, but of course, it's got Chris Pratt as Mario. You just would. Enough about that. We get Resident Evil out of not nowhere because this was announced maybe last year. They announced an animated series for Netflix and then a movie to come. They've released the trailer to Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City. Now, first and foremost, I watched this trailer for you listeners. I did this for you. But I want to tell you, it slightly unnerved me. This looks scary. It looks good. I've seen some people saying it cosplayers could do it better. I think that's unfair. I think this looks good. Matt, we talked about this before the show started. What's your point of view on it? How excited are you? Are you going to watch it? You've watched the animated. Give us your thoughts.
So, first, the animated series on Netflix is good. It's not great. It's not amazing or anything. It's not something that I think you should drop doing whatever you're doing or stop listening to this podcast to go listen to. It's a show that you probably you if you have some extra time, take a listen. I think it's only 4 or 5 episodes. It's only 30-ish, 30 to 40-ish minutes per episode. So it's if you watch all the episodes, about the length of a movie. It's fun. It's an animated series. It doesn't hearken to the horror aspect of Resident Evil. I told Gareth if you had he had to compare it to any games, it was Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 5, maybe even Resident Evil 6. It's but not the bad Resident Evil 6. What I mean is like it's more action oriented rather than horror. So that's why I'm excited for this because we talked about the other films. I despise and loathe the other Resident Evil movies. The first one is okay. The first one's good, especially for the time it came out. It had some of the original game aspects in it. It had some of the lore, and it was a fairly decent movie. And then every sequel after that just continued to get more trash and more trash until it's just a pile of garbage. Now, I would be lying if I said I didn't watch them, but it was more of like a guilty pleasure. I'm gonna go out. I was young back then. It was like middle school, high school. I just wanted to go to a movie theater and watch something and be rebellious with my friends. And the movies are garbage. They're utterly garbage. I remember watching the last Resident Evil movie back when I was in the army. So 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it came out, it made me nauseous. Not because of how utterly terrible it was, but because the camera work is just, it's just shit. It's like Taken 3, if anyone's watching, watch that. Where it takes like 31 cuts to show Liam Neeson jump over a chain link fence. It's just so many cuts, so shaky, it just made me nauseous. The story is just, you can't understand it. It's just a whole bunch of garbage and trash thrown at the screen. I hated it. I hate everything about it. So, I'm gonna get off my hill. To see this trailer, I didn't even know it was a thing until it popped up in the YouTube feed for me. You let me know about it. I went and watched it. I'm excited for it. I think fans of Resident Evil will be excited for it because it seems like it's hearkening to the horror aspect that Resident Evil built off of. I shot this to a couple friends, and one friend, David Boatwright, is, I remember, is a huge fan of Resident Evil. He got me into it. He gave me all the books that went along with the movies. I read them. We watched some of the films together. His initial reaction is that it looks like a fan film, but not in a bad way. He understands that it can't be, you know, it can't be one-to-one for the game, that it would be too long and boring, but most people wouldn't appreciate it if it was a one-to-one. But seeing a lot of the key moments for Resident Evil 1 and 2, as well as the look of the liquor and the other monsters, look fantastic. So it's just, what I told him was that the trailer looks like someone who actually played the game wants to, it made a movie, finally. Because the other Resident Evil, it doesn't even look like they played the game at all. Nothing was similar. Well, I'm going to go on a rant again. It was garbage. And they went on to make other garbage movies like the Monster Hunter movie. They've ruined garbage. They've ruined video game franchises. Movie franchises. I'm getting frustrated. Anyways, this game looks great. This movie looks great. This video game movie looks great. I'm excited to see this. And I hopefully it does well. And this is the start to more video game movies. Because I think they can be good. I mean, we have seen good TV series of video games. The Witcher did phenomenally, and I think Dragon Dogma came out on Netflix, and I've really enjoyed that. It's, while the TV series has done well, I do want to continue to see the movie aspect to grow, and I think it's just to get people in there that have actually played the game, that understand the audience that want to watch it, is essential in it. And this trailer looks like it somewhat understands that, and that's what has me excited about it.
Agreed. I think you hit the nail on the head with that iconic scenes, that initial walk into the mansion.
Yes.
And that first zombie encounter.
Yep.
The liquor. I mean, I remember playing these games far younger than I should have ever have been playing these games. Yeah. And being a licker for the first time and thinking a whole lot of nope goes that way. It looks good based on, you know, being video game fans. As a movie, I don't know. I don't base anything off of a trailer normally. It's not what makes me want to watch a film. I definitely 110% will not be watching this. Because it will be scary, because everything that comes out nowadays has to be scary, even if it's not, even if it's a comedy, there'll be a jump scare. So I definitely won't be watching it, but when Matt has, he will definitely let us know what he thinks of Resident Evil. Welcome to Raccoon City. It'd be good if they get into some lore, because the lore Resident Evil 4-ish. The lore is good. There's some good stories in that. Post that, it gets a bit
tacky.
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, I'm just waiting for somebody to say there's multiple universes. Anyway, well, we come to our final story of the show, and it's a very quick one about a game that we know we're going to play. We might enjoy, but I have some queries on. But anyway, enough about that for the moment. The game that we're talking about, and we posted it in the Discord yesterday when it was announced, I don't remember, Ubisoft has announced Ghost Recon Frontline. Sounds great. Another Ghost Recon game. Matt can say about how he 100%ed it and hated it still. I can say I loved it, and even worth playing it 2 years after it was released. But no, it's a battle royale. A battle royale. It's not like we've not got a load of those at the moment. And then it makes you think, hang on a minute, Matt. A battle royale, Ghost Recon, bish, bash, bosh, I'll have it. If it's gameplay like Wildlands and Breakpoint, third person, boom, bring it on. Instead, they've changed to first person. first mistake as well, in my opinion. First person. And if I'm honest, and I think I put this in the Discord, it looks like the overlay, the HUD, is a Call of Duty Warzone copy, in my opinion. Even the number of kills, number of people left in the game, number of people spectating, even down to the armor pack that are next to your name, it's almost identical to Warzone. So I'm there thinking, right, okay, I'll play it. I'll give it a go because I've got a lot of good faith towards the Ghost Recon brand. But it has to be something different. Their slight tweak is that it's an extraction game, similar to Hunt Showdown. Okay. Escape from Tarkov, but okay. I get what they've done. So they thought, we need a game. It needs to be a battle royale. What could we do that's slightly different? So we take the Dark Zone aspects of the Division, in that as soon as your extraction's sent, it alerts everybody around you, and they all come to you. So I'm there going, I tell you what, why not make a small... Oh, wait, no, we don't need to, because we've got the Dark Zones in the Division. So actually, what is the point of this game other than it's going to be a money sink, free-to-play, battle pass, crazy game that maybe some people will like? I don't know. You can tell I've already got my high horse. It hurts me because they said in the video that I shared in the Discord, they said in that video quite proudly, this is the next installment to Ghost Recon franchise. Next installment? No, 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 no. We were talking about this before the show, listeners. We were saying, give us another Wildlands, even give us another Breakpoint, but, you know, according to Matt, make it better. I mean, certainly make it so you can play with your three other AI teammates from the beginning. Anyway, or even better, make it future soldier level quality of game. Oh, instead they're pulling this out. It's 100 plus people will be in the game at any given time, which means you'll never find anybody because people will play this for about a week. Matt, take over before I get it banned.
So, the thing is, Ubisoft is chasing trends. Warzone is a trend. Battle Royale is a trend. The Escape from Tarkov, the Hunt Showdown is a trend. I don't know. I think you probably remember they already released a Battle Royale.
Hyperscape.
Yeah. Well, yeah. In their defense, we did enjoy Hyperscape. It was a fun breath of fresh air. The movement was, like I think I stated in one of the podcasts, it was like Titanfall. If you took Titanfall and made it a battle royale, it was fun, but it didn't do exceptionally well. So what does Ubisoft do? Just double downs on that? It just makes a battle royale, but mixes Escape from Tarkov into it? And I guess Escape from Tarkov and Ghost Recon can kind of work, but the fact of the matter is, no one asked for this. Nobody wanted this. One, all the Ubisoft fans have been asking for a new Splinter Cell. And I think we're getting a VR Splinter Cell that nobody wants. And like you said, they say the next installment, you compare... I didn't want to take this from you, but you're comparing it to Battlefield 2042, which isn't bad. Battlefield 2042 isn't bad, but they're using this as the next installment because, like you said, they're doing this Escape from Tarkov kind of battle royale mode, and they're also said they're going to have other multiplayer game modes associated with it. So it's going to be a hub of future multiplayer Ghost Recon game modes instead of a single slash co-op, you know, campaign that we all wanted. As much as you liked Breakpoint, I think it would be disingenuous of us to say that Breakpoint wasn't a disappointment for the masses of the Ghost Recon community. While the foundation was there for it to be good, I think I was on the Reddit, people were disappointed, but once they started updating it, people came around. They added, you know, they They took out the gear score. They were able to customize the difficulty and the survival. And they, I will admit that it probably is better now because I touched it. I don't know how long ago after that update. Being able to customize your experience to it and make it more like Wildlands was far better because I did enjoy Wildlands. They never fixed the AI, which is one of the huge negatives that I had for it. But overall, Breakpoint did get better. It became more like Wildlands, which people really were drawn to. It was added features that Wildlands didn't have. It was a great step after all the updates. And people wanted basically another Wildlands 2, Breakpoint 2, or like you and me, we want another Future Soldier or Advanced Warfighter. But they give us this. It's just, they seem to be so disconnected with their fan base. Because they also announced the Tom Clancy's X-Defiant game that came out with a very negative reception too. I do plan on trying it because it's a Overwatch Call of Duty kind of style, but I don't know if it's going to stick. They just seem to not be listening to their fan base. Their fan base wants another Advanced Warfighter, another Future Soldier, or Wildlands 2. They didn't give us that. They give us the complete opposite. Fans want a new Splinter Cell. They didn't give us that. It's just, it's disappointing to say the least. And not even that, it's just, like you said, it has almost a copy and paste from Warzone, but it doesn't seem to be adding anything different. Maybe besides some military simulation cosmetics, but it doesn't seem to be adding anything new to the formula, which is why I don't think it's going to do well, because they're chasing trends. Just because they saw how much Fortnite made, how much PUBG made, how much Warzone made, how much Apex Legends has made, that's already a lot of big competitors in that one market, while there's plenty of other smaller ones too. It's too late to get into it, and I don't know why they're doing this. This is not what we want. I mean, because even in that stream, they were like, oh, this is going to be legacy. You're going to enjoy this. They're going back to first-person shooter because, for the listeners, if you don't know, the original Ghost Recon was first-person, you know. So that was cool, but they're releasing classic Ghost Recon on their Uplay store. They're releasing expansions for free for Wildlands and Breakpoint on their Uplay, but then they give this, which is something no one asked for. But like you said, it's free to play. So I probably 99.99% sure you and I will both try it. We'll give it a fair shake. But it's just, while I will play it, I am still disappointed in the announcement. I'll end it with that.
Yeah, agreed. I think we've said enough on that one because we'll... Yeah, we'll just carry on. Anyway, that's the end of the news. Let's jump into the game of the week. And the game of the week this week is Half-Life Alyx.
Got him.
So, Half-Life Alyx. Look, I touched on it earlier. If you have VR, get this game. If you know someone who has access to this VR and can play this game, go around and play it. I can't even tell you how stunning this game was. It really was. It was a beautiful. I didn't particularly pay too much attention to the story. But then, honestly, I don't think I did to Half-Life 2, if I'm honest. Play it. The gameplay's good. The feeling of, you know, pulling a magazine out from your backpack, clicking it into a gun, and then I just felt so good. You felt awesome. But I cannot tell you how unbelievable it felt to be in that world. Honestly, go play it. If you can, go play it. If you've got the ability to buy it, honestly, buy it. I'm sure you already have. If you've got the ability to, you probably already have. I know we're a bit late to it, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, is it definitely worth trying.
Let me ask a question. So it's one of the, I would, first and only exclusives for the VR for Steam. Would you say it's good enough to a console seller? Would it be good enough to, if you don't
It's not a killer app. It's not a killer app.
So if you don't have the ability to play it, you don't think it's good enough to buy it. But if you already have it, it's good enough to obviously buy it. But that's what I'm asking. Is it so good that people should go out and buy the Steam VR or whatever to play this game?
If you're a Half-Life fan and you've played those games, you know, you're sort of our age, you've played Half-Life 2, you've played all the episodes, you've been yearning for Half-Life 3. Yeah, then in that case, it probably is worth purchasing it. But I wouldn't purchase... I don't know, would I? No, I wouldn't purchase a VR system purely to play this game. I think there will come a game where that is the case. I think it'll be a multiplayer shooter. I think that's what it will be. It will be a multiplayer shooter, or it will be a massive open world game. Once that's able to be worked out, that's the kind of game that will be a killer app. Or dare I say something like Guitar Hero. There'll be something like that. There's another £100 million idea that we've just thrown out there now. You know, something like that. A bit gimmicky, but also, you know, appeals to the masses. But equally, VR needs to become cheaper, needs to become more available for the masses to be drawn into it. But play it. Play it. Just find a way of playing it and experience it, because it's awesome. So that's Half-Life, Alex. That's the game of the week. Now, it's that time of the show where, which we call trivia. We've tried to do some quick fire rounds recently. It's going to be another quick fire round for Matt this week. And I've chosen a theme, as I did the first time. And I think you're going to crush it.
Means I'm not going to crush it. I'm going to be disappointed in myself.
No, I think you're going to crush it. There's only one I think you might go, So, the question, same question, all these, the following responses. What game are these weapons from? So, it's quickfire. So, you've got to be on it, yeah? Got to be on it. So, first one, nice and easy. BFG 9000.
The Doom.
Correct. Tactical Nuke.
Modern Warfare 2. Or Modern Warfare.
Correct. Gravity Gun.
Pass.
Oh, interesting. Keyblade.
Kingdom Hearts.
Correct. Finally, Dagger of Time.
Prince of Persia.
Well.
Hold on. Gravity Gun.
No. It's quick fire. No. End of round. So, BFG 9000. Correct was Doom. Tactical Nuke. Correct. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Keyblade, correct. Kingdom Hearts. Dagger of Time, that was the one I wasn't sure you'd get. Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. What a game that was for the PlayStation 2. Gravity Gun, how incredibly on topic was that?
That'd be Half-Life 2. Half-Life? Yeah, I thought it was named something else.
Unbelievable. Anyway. Well, okay. 4 out of 5, not bad.
Dang it. I know people are going to be disappointed, but if I had more time to think about it, I probably would have got it, or if there was some sort of multiple choice, but I'm disappointed in myself, so listeners, I understand if you're disappointed in me, because I'm disappointed in me.
Put it in the Discord channel how truly disappointed in Matt you are, but also put in the Discord channel, there's a gun, if there's a weapon that you think we've missed off there that should have been on there. There's so many... I thought you might potentially get confused between the Tactical Nuke, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, or Fallout. I wasn't sure. I don't know. I didn't know. You might.
Definitely not. If you yelled Tactical Nuke incoming, it would just ring it was just ringing my head for Modern Warfare because it's Captain Price that says it. Tactical nuke incoming! Good times.
Well, there we go. We just had an insight into the brain of Matt, and it's terrifying. Matt, why don't you tell the good people where they can talk to us, where we can be found?
The good people can talk to us on multiple, many different sites. Facebook being one of our biggest ones that we tend to post to and interact with the most. We still have a Twitter. We have an Instagram. We have an email if you have questions or games that you want us to cover. You don't have to just send it to the email. Post it to whatever you want. We have a Discord as well. We've been more active in that lately, as well as the content sharing, which has gained traction. If you have gameplay clips that you want to showcase of just showing off your pure skill or some ridiculous bug, post it in there. If you're streaming, post it in there. Just any of those social media aspects, we love interacting with our listeners. We love putting your guys' input into this. We love bringing listeners onto the show. This podcast is not just for Gareth and I. It's for everybody to have their own input and for us to talk about games.
Absolutely. And we do really, really, really appreciate everybody who listens and joins in. Honestly, we never intended to do this to become as rich as the people on Twitch are, apparently. If there was a leak of our details, you would be disappointed. But don't tell anyone. Honestly, we really do enjoy it. And please do join us in the Discord on Facebook. It's great. I mean, we were having some chats about Diablo, all that sort of stuff this week. You can even catch a video of me using Alex, playing Half-Life Alex, as we discussed earlier. I'm looking at a tree. You know, it's bonkers. It's bonkers. But join us in there. We would really enjoy it. So that's it for another week. It's not been a lot, but then somehow the show seems to be about 3.5 hours long. One day we'll start these shorter episodes, but it is not this day, as Aragon would say. So, as always, this has been your Gaming News Weekly.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.